And we thank God for Elder William Liverman, who is coming now, and according to God, take us further into the mystery truth, the gospel of the grace of God. Let's receive Elder William Liverman and the grace message with a very hearty amen.
Amen. Thank God for the word of God today. Amen. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy. Are you excited about the Lord today? Are you excited about Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. So God is so good, and he is, they already have one. Yes. He is so kind, he is so gracious, and he is our God. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace. And Father, right now, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here, those that are on their way. We thank you, Lord, for just saving us in eternity. And we thank you, Lord, that Christ will always magnify in our hearts. So, Lord, right now, we thank you for the word of God today. Breathe upon the word of God today. And we thank you for everything that you've done for us in eternity. We thank you for your kindness. Bless the word of God today. And as we move forward, we'll be always mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people of God say, in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank God for this day. And again, we can truly say, the Lord is good. Is the Lord good?
Yes, yes.
We serve a great, mighty, wonderful God. And we thank God for everyone here. And we thank God for the word. Our base scripture, in fact, when after the seminar yesterday, which the Lord blessed, I was ready to take off on the other section that I ministered 3 weeks ago. And we were going over after the seminar. And at first my wife was going to teach, and then I was going to teach today, back and forth. So I was going to yield to her. She yielded back to me. And no problem, I go and teach today, preach today. But I was ready to preach from another document that I preached on 2 weeks ago. And I kept hearing my spirit, no, review. We're going to review the seminar yesterday. Now, here's the only problem. I can't, y'all relax. I'm not going to be here 3 hours, all right? The seminar was 11 to 2, but we're going to condense that down to less than an hour. And to confirm that, I'm going to even, before we close, I'm going to cover some of the questions that were asked during the seminar yesterday. Because what I perceive is that some of the same questions that were asked yesterday, some of you all may have some of the same questions today. So we're going to cover some of those questions, and the base scripture that we're going to cover yesterday divided is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Deacon Gavin, before you begin, Deacon Gavin, that's going to be our base scripture. But let me now share something about God, because many times we don't know who we're dealing with. We're dealing with God.
Amen.
See, the Lord, the seminar, I mean, if you repeat, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you'll be confused. And the reason that there's so much confusion, church, in the body of Christ today is because God's people are not taught to divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. That's why I can go back to March, and I, in my heart, I was telling the brothers, we're going to do a little dispensation seminar downstairs. This is the month of March. But it's like every month something came up, and we just had to kind of delay it. And then I was all set for May. But, oh, Lord, I said the doctrine conference. I've already told the pastor, no, we're going to cancel. You remember we canceled the doctrinal, at least the men's fellowship on the dispensations for the council in May. I said, well, no problem. We can have it June the 11th. But then during that time, Elder Karen's sister, my sister-in-law, Mildred Belton's mom, 96-year-old, we had a wonderful time in the homegoing celebration. So the ladies canceled their fellowship. So I said, well, we'll do ours still June the 11th. But in that whole process, We said, well, since the ladies did not have their fellowship in June, we just combine it. But then it was a situation where the days again crossed up, and I said, oh, Lord. So we were out of town, and thank God, continue to pray for the Maggie Monroe family. Amen. And it was a wonderful ceremony, and my wife did a eulogy, and I was in Master Ceremony. It was a wonderful testimony. But during that trip, some interesting things happened. We rode down with my brother-in-law, and his truck, the electrical system went out. So that delayed the trip. Not delayed it, but we wanted to be back 3 days earlier. So it forced us to kind of finish up the seminar long distance with Brother Victor, Deacon Victor. And in that whole process, my granddaughters are here during the summer. And so we drove to Virginia to pick them up, got the rental car, and the rental car electrical system went out. So then, coming back, it was delayed, so thank God for the grace of God. In this whole process, they picked up the granddaughters. I said, Lord, seeing like we have this conference, this seminar, everything's I feel helpless. Hallelujah. Lord said, that's what. See, many times when you feel helpless, yes. When you say, I can't do it, Lord, yes. That's what God wants. When you decrease, God increases, and He magnifies Himself. Yes. Yes. So the Lord wants us positioned that, and coming back, we got here Friday night late and had a seminar yesterday, and we traveled on my wife's birthday, which was Friday, June the 10th. But either way, the Lord just kind of set up everything for His glory, for you don't get no credit. No one gets credit, only the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? If you believe that the Holy Spirit gets all the praise, honor, credit, give Him a hand right now. Give the Lord a hand right now. Amen. So in spite of all the blocks, the Lord just positioned everything for His glory. Not our glory, but for His glory. We need to know who we're dealing with, church. We're dealing with God. Amen. So I just want to let you know that they thank God for, we'll see how the Lord leads, but since so many of God's people are confused with the dispensation and covenants, we'll see how the Lord leads, but the Lord may lead us to have this, make this an annual event in terms of, and tying this in with the doctrine conference, then doing that way people have questions. Either way, we'll see how the Lord leads. But let's go right into the scripture and thank God. Everyone should have the dispensational chart. But this is going to be part, we're going to review this from yesterday. And Deacon Victor, we'll have this chart. So you may want to put this on the website today, because we're going to go through all the dispensations and the directors that God has set up for the ages in terms of His methodology. And we're going to, before we close, we're going to take a few minutes and go over, not all, but some of the questions that occurred in the seminar yesterday. But before we do that, Deacon Gavin's our reader. Deacon Gavin, 2 Timothy chapter. You know where to go. Mm-hmm. Call the scripture, Deacon Gavin, please.
Amen. We're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, first from the King James Version. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, mm-hmm. a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now from the interlinear Greek text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be eager, thyself approve, having presented to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Cutting straight, church, the dispensations, if you can imagine a pair of scissors, and we all have used these before, if you can imagine a pair of scissors, you know, a scissors cut paper, more or less. It cuts it to the point where you totally separate one piece from the other. Cut it straight. You see, the King James said the right to divide. See, that's too weak. You know, I'm telling you, the English language is a very lazy language. We're not beating up on the English language, but the Greek text gives you many cases a more accurate directive on what the Holy Spirit is saying. So the Word of God, these dispensations should be cut straight, separated, separate the gospel, separate the messages. We read from Paul's message to Timothy. Now, Paul was direct to his student Timothy, because Timothy was trained under the law. His mother, grandmother, Lois and Eunice, he knew the law. In fact, he knew some kingdom law. And Paul, the Holy Spirit, knew that if you do not divide these messages according to dispensations and covenants, and many letters we receive from preachers from Africa, Philippines, all over the land, the questions that we receive via the Grace Gospel Ministry, 99% of those questions can be answered if the ministers were taught their God's people to divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. And again, from the seminar yesterday, I learned you cannot say this too many times.
Amen.
You cannot teach this too many times, Pastor. You can't. Now, the question is, what in the world is a dispensation? Everyone should have the chart. Now, please, church, I'm going to give you a recommendation. You get a chance this week, please go to King Cole's, Office Depot, go somewhere, say, you tell them, it may cost you 25 cents, get this laminated. Why? Because if it's laminated, you're not going to throw it away. See, if it's laminated, you're going to keep this with you. And do me, church, bring this to church every Sunday. This church, this chart clarifies the God's word. Because everything in God's word should be taught according to dispensations and covenants. So laminate this. Depending on where you go, you can probably get it done for 25 cents. Laminate and keep this with you at all times.
Amen.
Question, what is a dispensation? Go to the chart. Before we go through the chart, and with the help of the Lord, we're going to cover this chart today. Real, I'm taking our time. Dispensation, to dispense or administer an economy, administration, or house rule, a particular program or set of operating instructions that God dispensed for man's obedience during a time period. Before we move into covenants, see, a dispensation is a rule for a certain period of time. Now, I mentioned this yesterday at the seminar. Right now, again, depend upon that, you know, in the United States, but some other nations depend upon how their government set up. But let's say United States. Right now, we're under President Barack Obama's administration. Now, what runs parallel to the administration, what they call House rules that Washington sets up via the House of Representatives and the Senate, they vote on House rules. And sad to say, some of the rules are, well, I'm going to get into that, but some of the rules here, I don't know where they vote on that. But either way, it's according to God, right? But these House rules run direct the administration. Now, in the, let's say, right now, our present administration, Washington, you have certain directives, for example, entitlements, education, and the focus is on the middle class. Those are the directives based upon the Democratic House rule. Now, on the other end, you have the if there is a Republican president, you will have another set of House rules that would be focused on the wealthy, national defense, and low taxes. These are the directives based upon who's in charge. Now, right now, we're in another political season. A lot of God's people are nervous. Just relax. God already knows who's going to be the president. But either way, whatever. In the future time, there will be, quote, a Hillary Clinton House rule, according to, you know, we'll see how God works that out. Or it could be a Donald Trump House rule. So y'all relax. Come on now. Don't get nervous. Amen. God is the one that has this already worked out. But see, every administration, but under God, this is just what these are the systems, church, that God has placed. But who rules over all? God is the one that's in charge. God is the one who is in charge according to dispensations. Now let's go to covenant. Go to your document here. Go to covenant. What's a covenant? It's a pledge, alliance, a contract, or agreement between two or more parties. There are two types of covenants between God and man. One, church, is a unilateral or unconditional, meaning all obligations are the responsibility of God. If you have to underline that. No responsibility placed upon mankind to effectuate the covenant. Number two, we have what we call a bilateral covenant. meaning mankind is required to do certain things in order to effectuate the covenant. Before we begin with the first dispensation, here's another problem. You will have mass confusion if you begin to miss these covenants. If you begin, for example, if you miss a bilateral and a unilateral covenant and make that one narrative, total confusion will take place. And we'll see this as we go through number one now. Let's go through these. The first dispensation is innocence. And by the way, Brother Don did a good job going through this yesterday at the seminar. The reference of dispensation is Genesis 1, 3, 2 through 25. The covenant is, that's the Edenic covenant. The scripture, Genesis 1, 26 through 30. Type of covenant, church, that's a bilateral. This is the dispensation of innocence. In other words, man do this, God responds. Technically, God's not responding to anyone because God's in charge. God controls all of these things, but so you don't get this information in these covenants. These covenants possess limited information until you get to our gospel. What's that gospel? The message, the volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul. And what is that truth? Oh, God. It was a truth that was hidden in prior generations, the volume of truth. But these covenants are limited in information. You're only going to receive the information that's in these covenants. It's a bilateral, and who's the federal head? Adam and Eve. That's it. Go to the next covenant, church. What's the next covenant? Conscience. You'll find reference in Genesis 3:6. That is the covenant, it's the Adamic covenant. And the scriptures is Genesis 3:15-19. It's a bilateral covenant. Again, God does this, man. See, it's a back and forth. It's a bilateral covenant. And who's in charge? The federal head, Adam and Eve, and others. Adam is the federal head. You see how consistent God is? Every dispensation, church, has a federal head that God appoints. Next dispensation, human government. Genesis 9 through 5 through Genesis chapter 12. What covenant for dispensation? The covenant? The Noetic. The reference is Genesis 9, 8 through 17. The type of covenant? Unilateral. Noah and his family and others are, this is the, Noah is a federal head of this covenant. Now, let me stop here for a minute. I mentioned this yesterday. See, God raised up these federal head and others. In spite of their weaknesses, in spite of their problems, God still used them. Yes. See, we have the misconception that once I get myself together, you heard people say that, once I stop doing this, I can come to church and get saved. See, you stopping doing what? Everything that you stop doing, God causes you to do this. But for example, Noah was a federal head of the dispensation of human government. And God used Noah. And if you do a little, say, Bible history, Noah, somebody said, oh, look at what Noah did. God gave Noah these instructions. He called all the animals, and Noah built this ark. Look at God breathe upon Noah to fulfill his purpose. But somebody said, yes, Noah was mighty. Yes, Noah was all, yes, according to God. But the moment Noah got in that boat, and shortly afterwards, when the flood subsided, Noah got drunk as a fish. And somebody said, but he was, how could he have done that? Listen, God uses you in spite of your weaknesses. We all have some things that we're dealing with. But we have to understand that everything is according to God, and wherever you are at this point in your life, church, you are there for a purpose. Amen. And whatever you're going through, you're going through that as your conscience moves into that frame. No matter, you may feel like you're getting beat up from all directions, beat up by sickness, beat up by heartache, beat up by depression. You may feel that you're getting hit one side to the other. I mean, you may feel that you're getting punched. Lord, I can't take anymore. I mean, how can I go any further, Lord? I can't do it. God has placed you there for a purpose. to understand that when you are weak, then what? He is strong. Because everything you're going through is designed to strengthen you, to make you more like Christ. As you move forward by faith, you walk by faith and not by sight. Everything is according to God. So yes, we've all been punched down. We've all been punched around a lot. That's according to this depravity. But every time you get punched, it's there for a purpose. Amen. I was looking at the funeral of Muhammad Ali. During his lifetime, he punched a lot of people. And I said, I don't get punched by Muhammad Ali. Amen. But the whole idea, every time they got punched, it was there for a purpose. And every time he got punched, it was there for a purpose. In life, you will get punched many times. And some of you right now feel like your back is against the wall. God placed you there for a purpose. For you to the Lord, I can't, one more punch, I'm going to be out of here. God said, at that point, I'm going to raise you up according to purpose. But the Lord may take me out of here. Good news, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. See, we don't know who we're dealing with. We're dealing with God. We are dealing with God, church. We don't know who we're dealing with. We're dealing with God. As long as I try to put that seminar in my own hands, and one time I called Brother Victor, I said, man, this is going to be a trying time. Another thing about the seminar, we had the dispensation seminar, which at one point trying to put everything together. Sister Cullen and Deacon Victor had already worked on the PowerPoint slides, and me sitting there to me, I said, hallelujah. The whole seminar was basically put together months ago. They already had the slides. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. See, the Lord breathed upon my wife the dispensation, but I didn't know how it was put together. I didn't know that was all according to God. He did it. We're dealing with God, church. Amen. Let's go to the promise. What about promise? Have mercy. Help us, Lord. In promise, now, what we're going to do is the dispensation of promise. The reference, the scripture is Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and also Exodus 19 through 13. The covenant is the Abrahamic covenant, and the reference scripture is Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It's a unilateral covenant. Again, church, all the responsibilities to effectuate that covenant, God, apart from man. And then who's the federal head? Abraham. Abraham was the federal head of that dispensation, which is the dispensation of promise. Unilateral. God did not need Abraham to effectuate that covenant. But there's something we need to see. Deacon Gavin, please, go to Genesis 12. If you have your Bible, go to Genesis 12. We need to see this. The reason I want to read the covenant first, for us to understand that this covenant is a unilateral covenant, and all the responsibilities to effectuate that covenant was God. Now, here's what we need to see. Deacon, read Genesis chapter 12. We're going to corroborate something here. See, this is what, let's go back to the opening scripture. What Deacon Gavin just read. Divide the Bible. Paul writes to Timothy again. I'm going to go very slow. Timothy, he writes to Timothy, study, and you need to study to divide the Bible, which is cut it straight, the Word of God. These dispensations have to be cut straight, the same way you would take a pair of scissors and cut paper. Cut it straight. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. You may begin to hear.
Now we're reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
God tells Abraham that I will bless you, Abraham, that I'm going to make you from your loins will I will make a great nation. Church, understand, God was going to do this apart from Abraham. Now, we don't have time to read this, but I'm just going to, I think you all know the story. You go over about 15 chapters later, you're going to be over in Genesis chapter 27, where Isaac is, Isaac has lost some of his vision, and he wants to bless Esau before he dies. So Isaac tells Esau, you know the story, go fetch me some venison. And by the way, venison is nothing but it's like some deer meat. Amen. So I can bless you. Now understand now, God did not need Isaac's help. But he tell his son, Esau, go fetch me some venison so I can bless thee. Rebekah overhears the conversation. So here they're trying to help God out, right? So she tells her son, Jacob, listen, I've heard Isaac. I heard what Isaac said. Go ahead, fetch some venison. So in other words, so you can get to Isaac before Esau. So what does he do? He goes and fetches some venison to be blessed ahead of Esau's blessing. And then what happens? Then that was problem number one, that Jacob was the youngest. Here's another problem that Rebekah realized. Wait a minute. He said, no, Jacob mentioned this. But Esau, my brother, is hairy. I'm a smooth man. So what do? They go and put some hair on Jacob. So in essence, they want to deceive Isaac to think that Esau is Jacob. But here's another problem. Jacob approaches his father. He said, wait a minute. He said, your voice, you feel like, people can't walk and see people. You walk by what you see, touch, and feel. Wait a minute, you feel like Esau, but your voice is that of Jacob. So he was confused. He should have been directed by what was said, what he heard. What have we heard here? Everything we hear is the word of God. We are moved, everything, go to Hebrews 11:1-3. Everything is going through a saying of God. What God said, church. But no. Isaac was moved by what he felt. So he gave the blessing. He prayed over Jacob. Jacob received the blessing. And of course, in due time, what happened now, all of a sudden, Esau is determined to kill Jacob. So what's the story, church? In other words, God already told Abraham, that through you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and later God changed Jacob's name to Israel, through this nation, you would be blessed. God did not need their help. Well, somebody say, but why did he pray? Why did these things happen? Again, you need to separate actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. What we see in these old writings is nothing but processes, church. If he never prayed for Jacob, it was already worked out. It was done in eternity. Israel was blessed among all nations by God's decree in eternity. What about bringing this to our life? No matter what blocks, no matter what you experience that block you, no matter what you experience in your life, problems with your husband, your wife, the children, the school, the neighborhood, no matter what you experience in the time capsule, it goes back. What's the saying of God? You were chosen before the foundation of the world. What did God say? There's therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. In love, God chose you to be a son or daughter of God. Everything that God had for you is already done. Amen. We are just working through processes. But in God's actualized decree, you are already saved. But somebody said, I haven't gotten baptized. Are you kidding? You are saved by God's decree. So in essence, church, here, God did not need Abraham. to effectuate the covenant. And now we're going to get into some very interesting thing, because we're going to see when once we get into our covenant, hallelujah. Next covenant is the law. Just follow the chart. In the law, you have that's Exodus chapter 20, verse 30 through 31, and the book of Acts, part of the book of Acts, amen. And then you have the covenant is the Mosaic covenant. And you find reference in Exodus 19, 5 through 8. And that's a bilateral covenant. And the federal head is Moses, is the federal head. Now, in this church, this is the law. Now, notice it's bilateral. God said, you do this, you sin, I'm going to get you. That's the language of that covenant. And if you carry that information to this day, you will be confused. Over there in the law, you read it. Many times, God tells Israel, you have sinned against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, I will visit upon you all of these curses. Beginning over there in Deuteronomy chapter, we don't have time, but let's put chapter 28. Every prosperity preacher loved to preach the blessings of Deuteronomy chapter 28. In fact, we'll cover that next, having our time today. But it's amazing. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14, all the blessings. They eradicate, it's almost like they eradicate verses 15 through 63. Those are all the curses. For all of the prosperity preachers, Pastor, I'm just telling you. They love, if you blessed, do this, you'll be blessed. What about, take the whole Bible church, just on pull things up at your convenience. What about the curses? But that's the language of that covenant. You do this, you'll be blessed. If you don't do this, you'll be cursed. That's a bilateral covenant. And the worst thing, the most confused Christian in the world is one who say, mix up a unilateral covenant with a bilateral covenant. Let me go further. In grace, hallelujah, this is good news. This is, our covenant is a unilateral covenant. We are blessed apart from conditions. And if you miss our covenant, grace, with the law, which is bilateral, you are missing a bilateral with a unilateral covenant, you have total confusion. Let me give you an example. There are many of God's people today from the pulpit. This situation in Florida that happened this morning, I think most of you heard this situation, mass shooting. 20 people, in fact, I think 20 got killed, probably more, and I think almost 50 got injured. Now, here's what's going to happen. Many churches, they go over there in the law. America has sinned against God. God is mad with America. So this is what example. Some of those kids, probably they was at a bar, so I guess a lot of the young people. And what happened, if you don't understand the workings of God, I'm sure some of the parents, let's say young people, say, if my child, my daughter was, if they had stayed home if they had stayed home, they would have survived. No. God just used that bar, that situation in Florida, that was God, part of God's process to take them out of the time capsule. Amen. To remove them from the time capsule. But somebody said, well, no, if they had been home, they would have been okay. Well, listen, you could have been home sleeping, had a heart attack. Come on. You know, God is the one. God controls events, church. Hallelujah. But that no one. That, and by the way, pray for those families. Amen. I'm sure the men of God's people there. Pray. But at the same time, that situation had nothing to do with what? God being mad with the people in Florida. But look at all the, yes, Florida, they're sinning and all this other stuff. God just got mad and sent someone to rampage. I think he had an automatic or whatever. Well, in that case, God could have been mad with all other, quote, states. But somebody said, well, what about Detroit? What about Detroit? All these killings, the young kids. Come on, church. Why is God allowing these things? For purpose. Amen. Everything is according to God. And right now, if I ask you, raise your hand, I'm sure everyone here, you remember a time where you could have got, you escaped from a car accident, you escaped from a bullet, You escaped from, maybe the doctor had told you, but you got a year to live. Why are you still here? Not because you prayed so hard or somebody else prayed for you. That's part of God's process. You are still here because it was God's eternal purpose for you to be here on this 12th day of June 2016. You had nothing to do with you being here. It was all done according to God. Now, let's move to the next cut. Let's move to grace. Yes, somebody heard it. Hallelujah. Let's move to grace. You see this? It's the dispensation, the epistles of Paul, when the grace dispensation. See, church, God works through dispensations and covenants. The scripture, Ephesians chapter 3. Deacon Gavin, please, why don't we do this? Go to Ephesians chapter 3, because we need to understand something, a characteristic of our covenant. The mystery. Somebody say, what's the mystery? You should know this. You should have this on your refrigerator. Come on, church. You should have this in your car. You should. See, when you say this, people, they go to school and they do certain things to learn. And wonderful. But church, that's secular education. I believe in secular education. Amen. But thank God, spiritual education is the ultimate. And this, what's this mystery? The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And they read verse 5 in the Greek, please. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going through the dispensations.
Now we're reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5.
Yes.
Verses 1 through 4 from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations, from the interlinear Greek text, which in other generations not was made known to the sons of men.
They read that one more time.
The mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not was made known to the sons of men, as now it was revealed to the holy apostles of him and prophets in spirit.
In spirit. Now, Deacon Gavin just read, church. Now, let's go back to your chart there, church. Go back. Notice under type of covenant, our covenant is unilateral. And who is this directed to? The body of Christ. And who's the federal head? The Apostle Paul. You see how consistent God is. Every dispensation has a federal head. And the dispensation of grace is looking at things from the eternal view. From the unseen, the focus is the unseen. And it is, there are no conditions in our covenant. See, under those other covenants, you do this, God do that. But under grace, you are saved, were saved, all because you were in eternity. Now, where's the confusion? If you mix a bilateral covenant, let's say the law, it's a unilateral covenant, your conclusion will be, your cogitation would be, for example, you get baptized in water and then God will save you. You see, you use a bilateral connotation. If you speak in tongues, you'll get saved. If you use your faith on the left hand, God will save you on the right hand. That's bilateral. If you clean up your life, God will save you. And some churches major in that. Get yourself together. In fact, there was a church one time where this lady, young lady walked in the church, and she was, I'm just using, like it was, the preacher that preaching the word of God. Thank God for the enlightenment of the word of God. The young lady walked in the church, and the young lady had a men and men dress on, and she sat in the back, and the preacher was preaching the word of God. Thank God he was preaching. He was preaching from Paul's epistles. And there were these old-time deacons, and they looked at her in this anger because in their mind she wasn't, quote, dressed right. She had gotten beat up by the world, so she sat in the back. And after service, it was like they pointed the things. It was like, why are you dressed this way? So what happened? The girl, she disappeared. Amen. Disappeared now. And who drove her to attend that church? God did. Amen. But they beat up. So thank God, you know, church, they, you know, where they left your name, your address, your phone number. So the pastor called her. And he said, well, do you enjoy the service? And she said, yeah, but she didn't come back. Make a long story short, she felt like she was being beat up. So the pastor had a meeting with the church leaders. So listen, if she come back, leave her alone. God will take care of it. You know, somebody that's beat up, just leave her alone. And all of a sudden, for the next month, he preached the word. And all of a sudden, she began to quench. You know, he didn't know what was happening, but she, you know, the Holy Spirit was dealing with her. And the Lord led her, and about 2 weeks later, she threw away the mini dress and put on a nice outfit. No one had to beat her over the head. And she had a meeting with the pastor after, and she said, you know, when you began to preach, but what God did for me, and the fact that, oh, God had although I've been beat up by the world, when he preached that you're free in Christ, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit dealt with her apart from the dictates of men, and God took care of that because he's God. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Now there is a proper, you know, proper time. Amen. That's part of the process. But you don't beat up a person that says, you get your act together, you get saved. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, kingdom. Last one. Let's go to the kingdom. Amen. Revelation 21. Dispensation, the Davidic, Palestinian, New Covenant. And then we reference in 2 Samuel 7:4, Deuteronomy 31 through 10, Jeremiah 31:31. It's a unilateral covenant. And who is the head of that covenant? The future covenant. Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Savior. Now, church, if you have a pen, I want you to write this down, because here's where all the confusion in most churches, in most of the, quote, Christendom today. The first four covenants, they're pretty consistent in terms of not a lot of confusion. But mass confusion takes place when you miss these last three dispensations. Law, grace, and kingdom. This is where you have the confusion today. When you begin these last three churches, these last three, again, law, grace, and kingdom. This is where you have most of the confusion today, and which we'll cover. And what happened is this, before we can get to these questions in about a few minutes, because you'll see that every question that we covered yesterday, in fact, we had a little group discussion, and Elder, and after the questions, Elder Karen Liverman received the questions, and there were about 12 questions. Every last one of those questions was a result of God's people not dividing the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. And church, it's liberating when you do that, when you take the word of God, which is consistent. Now, what happens? Let somebody say, you're making this all y'all grace gospel. It's not about grace gospel. It's the word of God. See, sometimes when you do this, somebody think grace gospel this information did not originate with grace gospel. The Lord just breathed upon Pastor Cutler and others in terms of writing this curriculum. And the reason you understand this, you can't take credit. Amen. We mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. We can't take credit for this information. It's all according to God. God has breathed upon you to understand this. So all the glory, honor, and praise goes back to God. Well, see, y'all think that, y'all think, get the Lord a hand. And that's our problem. We don't know who we're dealing with, church. We're dealing with a God. He's the one that breathes upon situations and breathes upon occurrences. The length, Paul picked this up, the length, breadth, and height, length, width, and height, is driven by breath. That breath is translated, the Greek test of that word breath is purpose. Whatever manifests in the matrix, the length, whatever situation, your home, your church, whatever, that situation is driven by purpose. Somebody said, I got a pink slip yesterday. Well, hallelujah. God, that pink slip was already there. You just, what? It just hit your conscience. You got that pink slip, it was already there. But God had something else for you. That pink slip was just moving you, what? Your conscience through the next frame. So joy in that. So in essence here, what happened, these dispensations have to be divided. Now, what happened? We've been over, we covered the kingdom. Kingdom. What about the mission of the kingdom? Which is future. Again, another problem. If you miss the present grace dispensation with the future kingdom dispensation, mass confusion. Let's cover this. Go to Psalms, Deacon Gavin. Somebody say, well, let me read the whole Bible. You're talking about dividing the Bible. Well, let's give you a few examples of why it's important to divide the Bible. Go to Psalms 51, 11. We know Psalms, you're under the law. You're only going to get the information, church, that's in that covenant. And those, right now, those maybe from Africa, from the Philippines, from other parts of the country, the nation, the world. God's people should be taught to divide the Bible. Now, you just run out of, you grab a scripture. Deacon, we're ready. Some of you know where we go. Go read Psalms chapter 51, verse 11.
Now we're reading from division of 51st division of Psalms, verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
David was writing under the information he had that was conveyed to him in that covenant. And that covenant is that if you obey the Lord, you'll be saved if you follow God's commandments. And the information he had was that you have to keep the Ten Commandments. That was initiated by God's dear right, Moses, Mount Sinai, over there in Exodus chapter 19. But here's the problem. Nobody could keep the law. So David, the information he had was that if you keep the law, you'll be blessed. If you mess up, God, the Holy Spirit is going to leave you. You see, church, this was a psalms of repentance after David messed up with Bathsheba, manifestation-wise, according to the law. But according to purpose, it was everything was according to God's purpose. But now David said, in his mind, I lost my salvation. Now, what is the liberating part of this scripture? Or part of this thought conveyance? Deacon, go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, please.
Now I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. King James Version. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye were sealed.
Thank God I got the word.
Unto the day of redemption.
Church, you were sealed. You are, because you have always been sealed. Mm-hmm. You've always been protected. You've always been saved. See, in the law, David thought that you were saved. The thought conveys where you're saved if you keep the law. But from our gospel, you have more information. You are saved, we are sealed, because you have always been sealed or saved. In fact, let's take this back. Moses, all the patriarchs of the law, all those other dispensations, church, they were already saved. Whether or not they kept the law or not, they were already saved, because they were saved before the foundation of the world. They just didn't know it. But you get this enlightenment under our gospel. Go to Exodus, another very familiar scripture. Right now, in some cases, people are confused about days, holy days, and all this. They make a doctrine out of days. Go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8.
Now I'm reading from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Keep it holy. Now, men of God, some of God's people, they worship God on Saturday. Amen. Now, you know, it's okay. We can worship God on Saturday, but don't make that a doctrine. you can worship God in terms of a day. It could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, any day. But like we mentioned yesterday in the seminar, if Pastor sent out an email to everybody tomorrow, say, by the way, church, because there's no days, we're going to have church. Come here at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. If Pastor sent you that email today, and I'm reading some of your mind. You say, Pastor, we love you, but that's probably not going to work because I need to go to work. It's okay in terms of doctrine-wise, there's no one in our dispensation, in our grace, there's no day that's elevated above the other. But why do you have, quote, Sunday? Why is there Sunday? It's a matter of a convenience. See, in my, quote, self-righteous days, I would beat up on some of my brothers and sisters that work on Sunday. I said, how dare you? You should be in the house of the Lord. I didn't tell them, but I was thinking. But no, it's okay to work on Sunday. You say, Pastor, I have a job on Sunday. I got to work every Sunday. Well, amen. Obey the employer. But at the same time, amen. You may want to pray. If your job is keeping you every Sunday, you may want to praise the Lord. Pray for a little change in your schedule. No, we're not being, hey, it's no condemnation, church. But like, I was talking to a brother sometime. Well, man, he had to meet the workman 7 days a week. He said, I got to get this overtime. 7 days. I said, 7 days? I said, well, brother, you better pray about that one. Emphasis, according to God. You know what God did? God, that brother had a health issue, and God slowed him up. God said, listen, you better slow up. See? But it was no condemnation, church. Our gospel is a liberating gospel. Now, we're going to close. We have 10 minutes left. We're going to close with a few questions that we received from the seminar yesterday. And you'll see, let's close on some of these. And notice that we went through the dispensations. And again, these questions occurred after everyone were in groups and they came up with these questions. And my question, before they started, the question was this. Write down some questions that you don't understand or some things in the Bible that just doesn't make sense. So here's some of the responses. Why do there seem to be so many wars? There was one. You know, well, first of all, look at the directive of what Jesus said. There'll always be wars, right? There will be wars, church, until the Lord comes to rule this earth for 1,000 years, and he's going to, the prophet said there'll be wars no more, but right now in this present evil age, there will always be wars. Amen. Now, thank God we should do what we can to minimize that, but as far as God's process, that's already decreed. That's already worked out. Armageddon, all these things are already decreed, church. But there will always be wars. Another question. Is speaking in tongues required for salvation? You see the liberating part of our gospel? We know that. It's not about tongues, church. That's just a process. Somebody said, well, I spoke in tongues. Wonderful. Amen. That was just God's way of dealing with you. But you are not saved because you spoke in tongues. You are saved because God chose you before the foundation of the world. Give the Lord a hand. Glory. It's not about tongues. It's about Christ. Yes. It's not about baptism. It's about Christ. Yes. It's not about what you do in time. It's what God did in eternity, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Another question. I'm just following you on some of the questions. Why do people say, this is a good one, why do people say the Bible contradicts itself? Understand, this is just at the end of the seminar. Why do people say, see, people say that, why? Because most of God's people have not been taught to divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. But you know, then what will happen if you do that, the Bible is very consistent. Because it's amazing. You go through those dispensations. God, what is yes in one dispensation, it's no in another one. See? There are many, for example, there are many parts of some dispensations, God's, it was okay, but basically, you know, some of God's servants had 10, 15 wives. Men and wives. That was, amen, that was that covenant, that dispensation. But the directive in grace is one wife. Well, somebody say, one, you know, every now and then you hear of a person having has two or three wives, four or five in different countries, different parts of the state. Amen. That's part of God's process, His purpose. But we're talking about basic directive. Again, we're not going to create a doctrine out of that. Amen. Another one. Here's one. Here's another question yesterday. Why did the Israelites forget what God had done for them after coming through the Red Sea? That was minute past. Wait a minute. Why did the Israelites forget? Well, I'm be very kind when I say this. Why do you forget?
Amen.
Come on, y'all. You know you forget.
Amen.
I was running upstairs the other day, 2 months ago. I was darting the house, running upstairs. You know, when I was driving the car, and I parked in front of the house, I was boom, hit the house, ran upstairs. And the moment I got there, I said, wow, what I come here for? And I had my synapses there to catch up with that thought. But that's all part of this process, church. Paul wrote in the Hebrews, say, do not let these things slip.
Right.
Part of depraved mind, we forget sometimes. Now, come on, y'all, you know you forget.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm not talking about someone 90 years old. Like my mom, she'll be 90. She'll be 92 in October. Lord's will, I'll be going down to August to celebrate 4 or 5 days with her. And obviously with all times, you know, that's a constant issue there. But somebody say, well, if you don't have any, quote, if your mental factor is okay and you still forget, it's all part of the fact that we all depraved.
Amen.
Amen. Another question. Now, this is a good one. Why do people tell you to get baptized where in the Bible it does not require you to get baptized in order to get saved? Why do people tell you to get baptized again? Do not go in those other covenants for doctrine. Because if you go over there, in Mark 16, Jesus says, go and be baptized. He that is baptized and is saved. No, he that is baptized, repent and be baptized, shall be saved. If you're not baptized, you shall be damned. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Though that's the language of those covenants, which is kingdom law. So if you go and take that directive and move this through this present dispensation, where in one account it says go and be baptized, and Paul writes to the church of Corinth, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, what's the summation? The Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. In the grace dispensation, there's no criteria. There's no water baptism. In grace, in the kingdom law, that's baptism, water baptism. In grace, there is spiritual baptism. For by one spirit, you are because you were. But you're not baptized in water. You are baptized in the spirit. What's baptism really? The word that's synonymous with baptism is identification. When they were baptized in water in those other covenants and the law, baptism and water, they identified with the Mosaic law. When they were baptized in the kingdom gospel, they identified with the new covenant, which is the fulfillment of what God had prophesied to Jeremiah 31:31. It was the identification. When we are baptized spiritually in Christ, it is a spiritual baptism that God purposed in eternity, not in time. Physical baptism is the directive in time. Spiritual baptism is the directive in eternity. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. So when people say that the Bible contradicts itself, what they're really saying, church, is that what they're doing is mixing the messages. There's a document, you should write, get a chance, go on the internet, differentiating the gospels. Keep the gospels. Separate those messages, church. Amen. I'm going to close. Two more questions. I'm sitting down. Hallelujah. Another question. Here's another one. Oh, yeah. Are we spiritual Israel? See, Jerry, see? Are we spiritual Israel? There's a whole document on this, church. For those about in other countries, there's a document regarding what Paul referenced in Romans 11. We're not spiritual Israel. Message closing in Galatians chapter, we have 1 verse 7. To Peter was committed the gospel of the kingdom. To Paul was committed the gospel of the grace of God. Two different dispensations. Two different directives. Two different messages. So don't get mad with Peter or James or John. They never grasped the grace message because it wasn't for them. The message, our gospel message, was what the leader, the federal head, is the Apostle Paul. And that was the last one. Clarify what's the difference between the law and grace, curses and blessings. We just covered that. Under law, yes, the directive in that covenant, you do this, God will do that. That's the language of those covenants. But somebody said, well, if that's the case, why are there so many bad things happening? That means that God is mad with America. You heard this. So all the bad things that we see happening in this country, we say God is mad with America. So now the judgment of God is on this country. See, you're using the language from another dispensation. Bad things happen. As long as we're here, bad things will happen. That's not being negative. Not because of anything that you do. It's all purposed by God, according to his will, plan, and purpose for the ages. So, in closing, the directives for our day, the directives for today is the gospel of the grace of God. The whole Bible is true. The whole Bible was written for you, but the whole Bible is not written to you. Stay in your gospel. Stay in those directives. Stay in those 14, abide there for doctrine. Amen. And you'll be liberated spiritually. It's a liberating gospel. And you can go to bed every night. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the whole Bible. I thank you, Lord, for Genesis through Revelation. But above all, I thank you for the enlightenment that you gave to the, you raise up the Apostle Paul. By the way, we are not lifting up Paul. We are lifting up Christ. You raise up this dispensation, the greatest of all, and my focus will be on the gospel of the grace of God, which is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.